Standing tall against a multinational corporate agenda. The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So you got two Florida Republicans now joining in on the Scott Pruitt must go bandwagon. And look, tons of damaging reports coming around the former attorney general, who you would think should know better. I mean, just kind of throwing that out there. All of the improprieties, all of the appearance, at least, you know, the guy with the super secret phone booth. I mean, like I've been saying, I can only think he's got some kind of Superman fetish. And then he's got the around-the-clock security detail, which makes me go, paranoid much, Superman? And then, you know, the subsidized housing in D.C. at a time when Ben Carson's trying to kick a bunch of people out of subsidized housing. Just kind of bizarre. But, you know, not surprising for this administration. Really, honestly and truthfully, not surprising at all. And here to share her thoughts and maybe some things that we don't know, I've asked Sally Harden to come talk with us. She's a research analyst for the Energy and Environment War Room at the Center for American Progress. Sally, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on, Rick. I appreciate it.
So the Energy and Environment War Room. I love that.
Yep, it's exactly like what it sounds like. We go to battle every day for energy and our environment and public health and against this administration, which seems to have a culture of corruption problem.
And the guy right there front and center, this Scott Pruitt, I mean, you know, again, you look at this administration, you go down, you tick down the list of people that Trump put into positions that you got to wonder if the first question on the job application is, do you hate the mission of your organization? Click yes, you're hired. This is a guy who sued the EPA multiple times. There's not an environmental regulation that appears this guy is comfortable with, but yet he can spend like a drunken sailor on leave.
You got it. And, you know, when he sued the EPA 14 times as the Attorney General of Oklahoma, he was not successful in that endeavor. And maybe they should have checked that before they put him into the role of administrator, because he hasn't been much more successful in this role, and he has blown through our taxpayer dollars anyway.
Yeah, but wouldn't you have to ask the question of, you know, what the definition of successful is? Because, and I know we might differ on it, but, you know, I got to think he's been wildly successful for the interests that matter to him. The oil and gas industry, the lobbyists who I guess evidently gave him a place to stay and subsidized his housing and, you know, fly him all over the place. I mean, you got to think. They're happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, you just hit the nail on the head with his definite trending towards a pay-to-play sort of agenda and style of leadership in the Environmental Protection Agency. He's continuously put the needs and interests of industry and corporations, high-up executives, ahead of the needs of everyday Americans and their health, notably. For example, he decided not to ban a pesticide, a very dangerous pesticide that is known to cause brain damage in children. And at the same time, that decision benefited, some companies who later it came out have ties to his administration. And one of them right now is nominated to lead one of the offices in the EPA that regulates chemicals and chemical spills. So you really can't make this kind of stuff up.
It's but those are job creators, Sally. Those are the jobs. We need the jobs. You know, if a few kids get lost along the way? It's the price of progress.
It just doesn't feel that way. I mean, you'd think, but at the same time, so many of the things that he's done to roll back protections for health, for example, today he just rolled back the clean car standards. And with that, he is making it so that not only is our air dirtier, but Americans are going to be paying more at the pump because cars aren't going to be as efficient and we're going to have to put more gas in our cars. And even, this is the crazy part. So, you know, you'd think that he was doing this to benefit the auto industry, which I imagine was his original intent. But he was supposed to have an event in Virginia this morning to announce the rollback at a car dealership down there in Chantilly, Virginia. And he actually pulled the event because not enough automakers wanted to stand with him. And so he had the event kind of in secret, you know, behind closed doors at the EPA and quietly signed this rollback of these standards.
Yeah, but I saw the picture floating around of him, you know, standing with big smiles with a handful of, yep. I think there were three or four auto executives. You know, he got the picture. That's what really matters.
The only ones who will still stand by him. You got it. But yeah, it's surprising and it's shocking. And, you know, the worst part about that is not the impact, you know, not just the impact that it's going to have on Americans and our wallets, but also his lack of transparency. I mean, so we didn't know that any of these things were happening until people had to sue to get this information. He's hid his schedule from the public. You know, it took us forever to learn that he was taking first-class flights everywhere, over $100,000 in first-class flights. And that was to avoid the public, it came out, because he'd had some unpleasant interactions with passengers who did not like his environmental policies. So, you know, it's shocking, and it continues to be shocking, but it really shouldn't be. Like you said, this is just the style of this administration is benefiting a few members of industry, and while trucking, you know, public interest out the door.
Yeah, but couldn't you say, Sally, that this was, you know, this was brought up during the election? I mean, I talked about this, you know, almost weekly. The fact that whoever Trump was going to put in as head of the EPA, on the Supreme Court, as the head of labor, you know, you can go down the head of education, head of energy, all of that stuff. We're going to be people who are just going to be horrible. And they were going to be completely against the mission. And we were going to roll back regulations to the, you know, to the good old days of the 80s and 90s and not the 1980s and 90s.
Yeah, no. And I think you're absolutely right. You were right all along. And I think, you know, to your previous point, one of the reasons that Pruitt stayed in office as long as he has is because by all appearances he's been good at doing that, and he's been very loyal to this president. He's given him good photo ops like you just mentioned, and he, you know, has really carried out that deregulatory agenda. But the thing that's just, you know, really hits home to me is that once it starts happening, you know, once these policies start having their health impacts and you know, money impacts on American consumers, on American public, that's when people are going to wake up and realize how terrible his policies have been and how hurtful they've been and how he's really just been benefiting his cronies in industry.
Yep.
And, you know, another example of this, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about his condo on Capitol Hill, which he was renting from the wife of an energy lobbyist. And it turns out, it came out later, that this energy lobbyist lobbies for Cheniere Energy, which is one of the only natural gas exporter companies. And Pruitt went on a trip to Morocco to tout the benefits of natural gas in December. He spent $40,000 on that trip, so that's $40,000 in taxpayer money, to fulfill something that is not even part of the purpose of his agency. That is not in the EPA's mandate. By any stretch of the imagination. So it's things like that where when people hear about that, you know, I can only hope that it's kind of like, oh, man, you know, yeah, it's definitely in keeping with the rest of this administration spending money willy-nilly, but it's not a good look. It really isn't.
No, but, yeah, I hear you going through all this stuff, and I'm going, you know, how do I get a gig like this? How do I get to go to Morocco and have someone else pay for it and have no real responsibility? You know, how do I get to go to Disneyland first class and have security detail push aside all of the unwashed masses and get me onto the fast track lane faster? You know, how do average everyday folks like us get that kind of treatment?
You know, I think the answer to that is you just have to start attacking public health and the environment. You know, maybe spill some oil in some rivers, pollute the air a little bit more, and you will be a prime candidate for that role.
Yeah, who needs fresh air and water? I mean, it's overrated. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Cleveland during the 1970s. And, you know, Cleveland was like the home of the Clean Air and Clean Water Act, because the lake was dead. The only fish you ever saw in Lake Erie were floating sideways looking one eye up at the sky. And you weren't allowed in it because everything was dead. And I remember the air was horrible. We had asthma rates through the roof. And it was because of smart policy. And this is why I go back to why I'm fairly passionate about what the EPA does, because I was one of those kids who suffered from asthma horribly because the air quality was so bad. And I do remember acid rain when I was a kid. And these are things that we don't have anymore. But we could get all this stuff back if people like Pruitt are allowed to continue. The sideshow is one thing. I mean, the subsidized condo, the Superman phone booth, all of that stuff, that's off to the side. That's the distraction. The really horrible stuff is what you were talking about, rolling back the mileage standards, rolling back clean air and clean water and just stuff that can't just be undone with a flick of a switch like they're doing it to undo what got us to this point. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. I think you're really hitting the nail on the head here. He's just a perfect example of the culture of corruption in this administration, where these personal ethics problems and abuse of taxpayer dollars and things of that nature kind of mask the fact that he's really selling out the air kids breathe and the water that they drink to polluters and special interests. And, it's almost a mask for these horrible impacts that are happening. And I think your point, again, you make a great point that a lot of people, and especially a lot of people who are caught up in politics these days, don't have those memories that you have of the impact to your communities and to your own health. But the reality is that we still have 25 million Americans who suffer from asthma today, and 6 million of those are children. And that's, not a statistic that we want to increase, but with what Pruitt is doing, he's not enforcing standards on big power plants that are polluting. He's not enforcing these limitations to limit the toxins in our air. And so, how do you drive home that point that this is really only going to get worse from here? And I just have to hope that we don't get to a point where we all have to physically experience it wake up and realize that we need someone in charge of the Environmental Protection Agency who's going to carry out the mandate of that agency, which is to protect public health and the environment.
Because my fear, not just at EPA, but virtually every lever of our government, is that it takes a generation to undo the damage that they're doing right now. Maybe even two. I look at the Supreme Court, and if there's one more court appointment, it's gone for the next 40 years. You're talking two generations before we get any sanity there.
Totally. Go ahead.
And, I look at, education, energy, EPA, you go down to the people who are leading these, who are running these these institutions into the ground, the damage that they're causing is maybe in my lifetime, irreparable.
And, I think you're so right. And it's so scary to hear that and think about that. And I think that's why we're calling for Scott Pruitt's resignation right now, not a moment longer. He's been in office for a year, and as you said, he's been shockingly effective in that 1 year at undoing these regulations that protect our basic needs. And I just don't think we can wait any longer to have him stay in that position, because he's only going to make it worse.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, we just got to keep moving forward. Otherwise, you're right. We will be stuck in a spot that we can't recover from quickly.
So before I let you go, I gotta go back to the funny ha-ha moment, because you got to leave on something of a high note, because I got to be honest with you. I'm a little depressed right now.
It's a little dark. I agree.
I'm a little not happy. But there was a report that Pruitt was, I guess, lost, missing, maybe, with some teenage boys. Who knows? I don't know. But his security detail, I guess he ditched the security detail or what? And they actually had to kick in a door, call 911. What happened?
Yeah, so that, added up to another expense that the EPA had to cover using taxpayer dollars. So when he was staying in this lobbyist condo on Capitol Hill that he was getting for $50 a night, come visit Washington, D.C. and try to get anywhere for $50 a night. He, at one point, quote unquote, evaded his security detail. We don't know the full details, but we do know that he was missing, and they were concerned that he was either ill or unresponsive inside of his condo. And so they tried to contact the local police, and not getting any further with that, they actually called 911, and they broke down the door of Pruitt's condo and shattered the glass in that door and rushed in. And apparently the administrator was groggy and waking up from a nap. And I will also mention that in the few records of his schedule that we've gotten from around that time, it's a redacted block of time that just says redacted for personal reasons. So, we don't want to speculate, but it's weird. there's a lot of weird stuff going on around through it.
And I look at this, and he's one of those guys where, you know, the imagination goes to places where it probably shouldn't. But, you know, we've learned from people like this in the past that, well, the bounds of insanity are limitless. And, yep. You know, it's shocking to me because this is a guy who wanted the security detail. It's not like this was forced on him and he's trying to ditch it like some teenage daughter of a president who used to sneak out at night. This is a guy who wanted this.
He begged for it. Absolutely. He's spending $2 million on it. And that's twice as much as any previous EPA administrator. He wanted this. He brought this on himself. So his behavior is somewhat unexplainable.
Yeah. It's because we don't like him. this is weighing on his psyche.
You're right.
Wow, crazy times. But Sally, I appreciate the time. Keep up the great work there in the war room.
Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Sally Harden. You can check out their work over at AmericanProgress.org. She's the research analyst there at the Energy and Environment War Room. Love that. At the Center for American Progress. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Smart policy and sound investment matters. The Rick Smith Show.